Welcome to the Rhino Daily Podcast, the daily podcast for sharp entrepreneurs. You'll hear insights and ideas from the world's top entrepreneurs and thought leaders,
designed to help you increase your profits and improve your lifestyle.
Now here's your host, Steve Cypress.
Hello, it is Throwback Thursday, October 7th, 2021. Steve Cypress here, and it was 25 years ago yesterday, the date, October 6th, 1996, not the day of the week, of course, yesterday, because professional golf tournaments start on a Thursday, end on a Sunday. They don't end on a Thursday, but on yesterday's date, October 6th, 1996, Tiger Woods won his first of 82 professional golf tournaments, only a few weeks after he won, I think, his second national amateur championship. He started playing pro, and it only took him a few weeks, and bang, won a pro tournament in a playoff against a Hall of Famer, one of the top golfers, if not the top golfer of the day, Davis Love, who I think won 10 tournaments that year. Tiger beat him in a playoff and went on to an amazing career of 82 victories, including 15 majors, second of all time, just, I think, three behind Jack Nicklaus. And, boy, did Tiger Woods have an effect way beyond just the world of golf, way beyond actual the playing of golf. Really changed the golf world, I would say changed the entire sports world, and really changed a lot of society. Just a major, major character. Now, he has famously, of course, had his ups and downs as far as the playing on the course. His incredibly powerful, overly torqued swing has always caused him tremendous back problems. He's also had, I think, a few knee surgeries. So all kinds of physical ailments, you know, like a lot of athletes. Really, the first real, pure athlete in the sport of golf, which 25 years ago was basically just a bunch of old guys wearing plaid pants. And, you know, of course, they were athletic. They were walking for miles, no golf carts for the pros. So they walked a lot and they're, you know, swinging a lot. And they certainly were athletic and in good shape. But man, Tiger suddenly was like, oh man, guy was built, guy was smashing the ball. I think I read that in that first tournament that he won, he outdrove every single other player in the tournament by over 10 yards on an average for the whole tournament. And a lot of the times he would tee off, not even with a driver, with the furthest club. He would tee off with a 3-wood to play course management, to hit it, like, you know, definitely right down the middle and not have to take a massive chance that you try and hit it such a long way that if you miss it by a little bit, it goes into the woods or whatever. No pun intended. But he still outdrove everybody by over 10 yards, like unheard of for the entire tournament, and just amazing. And he continued to do that. So he revolutionized the game of golf by being an athlete out there. He just looked like he could be playing any sport in a sport where the golfers all look like golfers. Like, that's pretty much the only sport they could play now. And he launched I think, of all time, but certainly a generation of athletes playing golf. Nowadays, you watch the pro tour, I haven't in a while, but if you see these guys there, there's a lot of really athletic guys out there. And after a while, I don't know, 10, 15 years or so, of Tiger being the only guy on the course smashing the ball, you know, incredible record amounts of distance. Now, you know, there's all kinds of players that started to get up there and drive with Tiger. Now they're, of course, they surpass Tiger, and of course surpass him in his prime. Of course they surpass him now, and especially now today, because I was going to say that off the field, or the course, or whatever you call it, he has famously had all kinds of self-inflicted major problems, besides the injuries, but, you know, famously the old, few years ago, the cheating incident, cheating on his wife with like a dozen random women, or I guess, who knows if they were random to him, but like a dozen women or something, that comes out, caused all kinds of problems. He lost some endorsements. There was another major thing, by the way, off the field of play, the course, is he was the first golfer to really get some humongous, big-time endorsement deals. Speaking of which, in honor of Tiger, I am wearing one of my red, or this one's maroon, golf shirts, where you can see it's from the old Nike. There's the swoosh. So Tiger famously has, I think, always been sponsored by Tiger. In fact, I saw a photo. I saw a photo of Tiger on the day that he won that first tournament. And he was not wearing his signature red shirt that he, I don't know for how long, but I thought it was for his entire career. It's got to be close to it, that he always wears on a Sunday in the finishing round. He's famous for that. But back then it was a white shirt, had like a red collar, but it had the Nike swoosh on it. So I think he's always been with Nike. And man, has he brought them likely billions of dollars for the tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars they've paid him. And I just, obviously, Nike is a horrendously evil, crappy company. So I will never, of course, give them another penny. But I somehow just can't bring myself to like, well, I guess now that I think of it, I won't throw it out, but I ought to just give it away. That's what I'll do. I will just give away these fantastic, great golf shirts. I have my beautiful Nike golf bag that I love. And again, it's in perfect condition. It's only a few years old, so I just can't bring myself to like, oh, go buy a new golf bag. But I really think I should, because I don't want to walk around the course with the big swoosh on it and promote an evil, ridiculously horrible anti-American company like that. But anyway, Tiger revolutionized golf in many ways on the course with his massive drives. And by the way, he was also an incredibly accurate short game player and great putter and amazing, most of all mentally, so far ahead of everybody. He would just psych everybody out for years. Anyone anywhere close to him or ever in a playoff or ever head-to-head in a match player would have had no chance. Tiger would just psych him out, including, as I read, in that first victory in that playoff, at one hole it went in a playoff. They were tied, him and Davis Love, at the end of 4 days of 90 holes each. They had a playoff, and Tiger said he chose to play off to drive first because he said, what I'm going to do is put the pressure on. And he smashed a three-wood, like, right down the middle, they say, and then he put his tee shot, second shot, right onto the green, like 20 feet away. And he said, I knew that would put immense pressure on Davis Love, and sure enough, Davis Love hit his second shot, his approach shot, instead of hitting the green, landed in the sand trap near the green, and he got out to like 6 feet away, but he missed the putt. And then all Tiger had to do was two-putt, and he was in and won the tournament. So he was psyching people out right from the start. Not really anymore. And it's and then his second big fiasco happened recently, I don't know, a few months ago, where he famously crashed his car into the side of a hill, and major damage. Like, I think he broke both of his legs, or he's got, you know, steel plates in there, or metal pins, or whatever the heck's happening. You know, there's talk about, you know, forget will he ever play competitive golf again. I don't see him ever winning a tournament again. Playing competitive golf, he might, you know, he's Tiger Woods. He might be so focused and so determined that he comes back even if just to play, to say that he's playing. If not be one of those, like you see the old Hall of Fame all-time greats that tee off to start at the Masters. He'll be like one of those, but I don't see him ever winning again, maybe not playing again, and there's talk that he would never walk again. So another major self-inflicted problem. Everyone was like, why is Tiger Woods driving his own car? Why don't you have a driver? You know, he was early morning getting to some kind of recording, shoot, commercial, whatever, and I don't know if he fell asleep at the wheel or just, you know, paid no attention for a minute, making a call or changing the radio state, whatever, around the turn, and like, you know, self-inflicted major problem again. So Tiger's had an up-and-down career reminiscent of our lives as an entrepreneur, where our lives are roller coasters, full of ups and downs. We like it that way. We can handle that. 90%, at least here of America, and probably even higher percent around the world, who are not business owners, can't handle that. They need us to build a business and to come up with vision and raise funds and continue to run a good business so that we can pay them, so they can work for us, because they are afraid or don't have confidence, whatever it is, they just can't do what we can do, which is build a business, grow a business, buy a business, start a business, take over a business, whatever it is. They can't run a business. They don't have what it takes. We do. But part of what comes with that, as you know, are the ups and downs, where the people we pay don't really have as many ups and downs. Once in a while, they get laid off or they lose a job. But otherwise, they get their paycheck, their benefits. They have their, quote, secure job, career, whatever it is. Like, they don't have to make payroll every Friday and sometimes really, be concerned about it and have to wingle wangle and do all kinds of things and shuffle which bills get paid and which don't and what you got to do. And, hey, I'm doing a new advertising campaign and, it didn't work and we're out all that money. Let's start over. Let's tweak it. We got to crack the code, get it to work. I hired a guy. He, didn't work out, he or she, or even worse, ripped me off or whatever. I could go on and on. But anyway, Tiger's had that kind of inspirational career for entrepreneurs. You watch someone have massive ups, massive downs, keep going through it, and just like a true great entrepreneur, change the world. I mean, I saw the check for that first victory. Tiger held it up, and they say he still has it on the wall in his home or his office or whatever. $297,000 for winning that tournament, which obviously is a lot of money. A lot of people don't even make that an entire year. But then I looked at what's the purse for this week's tournament 25 years later. It's not the same name or place, but whatever tournament they're doing this week, $1.26 million prize for first place. And back then, the overall purse for all, 70 positions in the money or something was, $1 million or $2 million or something. Now it's $7 million purse. That's almost all because of the Tiger effect. He brought the eyeballs. He brought the sponsors. He elevated the game. He made it, a popular, cool thing, golf, instead of, again, the old men in the plaid pants, with a beer belly. Like, that was the perception of what golf was. He made it cool. And, damn, I remember a time back then also where, Tiger was the favorite to win every single tournament. It was, in fact, amazing if he did. It was like, what, Tiger didn't? Which is unheard of, with like 70 or 80 or 100 golfers in the tournament. And it was like, always Tiger's to win. Always like, what do you mean? I remember he didn't miss a cut, which means after the first 2 days of the four-day tournament, if you're not in the top 10 or have a certain score within 10 strokes of the leader or whatever it is, you have to be in the top, 36 or something, or within 10 strokes of the lead or something like that. You don't even get to play on Saturday and Sunday. You just go home. It's called missing the cut. You get cut out of the tournament. Well, I think Tiger, made the cut for, 10, 15 years in a row or something. Just amazing, amazing. So he changed the game on the course. I remember them, there was talk about that the course designers were Tiger-proofing the golf courses now. They were moving the tees back 20, 30, 40 yards so the Tiger wasn't just destroying every course and setting every record and winning every tournament by 10 strokes. Like, they tried to Tiger-proof the course. Nowadays, like I said, a lot of people can drive that far, but all kinds of things done just because of Tiger on the course and his amazing influence. No matter what the golfers thought of him, jealous of him, or some likely that were racist or whatever towards him in the beginning, who's this upstart kid, who's out driving us and making us look silly and winning tournaments by ridiculous strokes, just killing us. What's up with that? But, I'm sure when they all thought about it, they were like, holy crap, he's making us rich. He's making us money. Like I said, somebody's going to take home $1.26 million this Sunday for winning a tournament instead of, $297,000 would be worth today, 25 years later, maybe double. But it's double that, all thanks to Tiger Woods. Anyway, so there's a few business lessons in there. mostly the attitude, the eye of the tiger, the incredible focus, drive, the mental toughness, and the will to practice and practice and practice so that he was physically as flawless as a golfer could be in his prime and for years, withstanding all comers. When you're number one, everyone's coming to get you, as you know also in business. When you're number one in your area, in your niche, and whatever, everyone's gunning for you. Well, so, you know, Tiger showed that, like, yep, and I'm going to stay right at the top for years. So, again, a lot of stuff self-inflicted, but, man, he's overcome physical injuries, mental screw-ups leading to physical injuries, and plus another way he revolutionized golf is his appearance fees. Like, you know, not anymore, but I think he was getting paid like $1 million just to show up at certain tournaments, whether he won or lost anything, which, of course, is not, maybe very few of them, but almost no golfers get that. I mean, if you don't place in the top, whatever, you don't get paid. Like, that's the way golf is, just like a salesperson on pure commission. You don't perform, you don't get paid. Well, Tiger started getting $1 million, $2 million just to show up. Like, just revolutionized the whole thing. So hats off to Tiger Woods. I'm even actually wearing a Nike Swoosh golf shirt. Now that I think about it, for the last time, I will throw this in the wash and then go have my beautiful wife Michelle take it over somewhere and give it away to a homeless shelter or whatever. I don't know, my golf bag. I mean, I love it. It's light. It's great. It's practically brand new. But man, I just cannot bring myself to walk around and promote this evil, hating America company. Even though I love Tiger. Anyway, he gets paid. Whether I get rid of the golf bag or not, right? Although his contract with Nike, I don't know when it runs out, but it's got to go down since he's not going to play again, or at least not going to be winning again or be a star again, not to mention Nike's, you know, proven to be more evil than ever recently. So there are millions, tens of millions of people like me that will never spend another dime at the company. So I have a feeling that their contracts to their stars, LeBron James, they had Michael Jordan, whoever else, Tiger Woods, like, I have a feeling those might be going down a little, but who knows? You know, which is another lesson in business, because you focus on your target market, and you don't give a crap about the people that don't like you, or don't like what you say, or what you do, or what you put on social media, whatever. Screw them, right? So there's people that hate America. They love Nike. They love watching LeBron, love China, hate America. Like, they love it. So while they lose customers like me who like America, they gain all kinds of customers who hate America and go, yeah, way to go, Nike. We hate America too. So that's a great lesson for you in business. Never worry about the people that don't like you or opt out of your stuff or, you know, put crappy posts about you on social media. Who gives a rip? They're not going to give you money. They're not going to buy your stuff. So who gives a crap what they think about you, right? Be who you are, say what you feel, and you'll attract the people that you want to be your customers, your clients, your patients, your members, you want to do business with. Anyway, that'll do it for Throwback Thursday. Thanks for being here today. I will be back tomorrow, as always, on Foundation Friday. I will catch you then. Over and out. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today on the Rhino Daily Podcast, the daily podcast for sharp entrepreneurs hosted by Steve Cypress. Join us tomorrow for another exciting episode designed to help you increase your profits and improve your lifestyle. Also, go to rhinodaily.com for more great business exploding tips, strategies, and tactics from the world's top experts. Plus, snag your free copy of Money Making Monthly Magazine.
Goodbye.